Scotland for our music programs. As mentioned when speaking on behalf of our organization's value, the BOA works tirelessly to be financially responsible. Please take note that as this meeting falls very soon after year end, any of our financial information is preliminary. Our treasurer and administrative staff are currently working with our friends at Sullivan & Company to transition our audit files and clear our year-end documents. We stand before you today to request $306,800 in financial support for 2019. The approval of this request will allow our organization a balanced budget of $938,500. We assure you that our expenses will continue to be limited and effective cost savings will always be something we strive for. Please understand that with this request comes a firm commitment from all of us to you, our community leaders. We've set our goals for 2019 to continue to increase membership, to increase non-member participation, to increase our program options, to increase the standard operating hours, to continue to work to make our staff salaries comparable in the marketplace, to increase rental and partnership programming, and to increase marketing and advertising to support the growth and awareness of our organization. All while tirelessly on your behalf to provide a home away from home for the people in our community over the age of 55. I would like to say thank you. Thank you from myself personally for allowing this opportunity to stand here for the 12th year in a row. For the members that are enjoying the Bowmanville Older Adults as we enjoy council chambers today. And from our board of directors that appreciates all of the support you've given through the 3 years of transition. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I noticed that I'm not very phenomenal at spelling.
Did you make a spelling mistake in your testimonial?
I did. And I felt compelled to point that out in a very public fashion. Do we have questions, comments? Councilor Neal.
Thank you. Through the chair to Ms. Darlison. Thanks for coming. I'm having a lack of understanding here around the grants as an expense. So I don't know if there's something you can provide further information on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not really following that. I don't mean right now, but
okay. It's fairly quick. There are some grants that you can apply for that are, for lack of a better word, pots of money. So you can apply for New Horizons funding and different things that are for a specific project. So if you apply for funding through the province of Ontario to do a project, you have to correlate your expenses to that project. So although grants come in as revenue, they also go out in an expense. And they can't be used for day-to-day operations.
I always wanted to be an accountant, but...
I have one.
I'm just wondering if there's some sort of... double counting in there, if you're counting that as an expense, for example, and it also goes to salaries, you know what I mean? Like, that's all. Like, this isn't an audited statement, but I...
No, and it's, if we receive a grant for staff, so summer student grant funding,
yeah.
It's expense through a staffing expense. Those, anything under the grant expense line are program related, so our New Horizons for Seniors funding through Life Through the Lens program, we received $25,000. We spent $25,000 to put that program on. So it's an in and an out.
But it doesn't, that 25 wouldn't show up elsewhere in the statement?
No, it only shows up under one line.
Okay, and then this was done in November, right? The one that's in the binder, and then you flashed another one up there. I was wondering if you could go back to that for a sec.
This is the expense one here. This was as of Monday morning. So it will have changed a little bit from what was submitted to the Director of Finance. Obviously, we have to submit in October, November to the municipality.
Right. So is it possible to get a copy of that?
Yes. You actually have a copy of it in the annual report as well. But I will summarize it for you, too.
Okay. So it seems to be, I guess, through the chair, it seems to be successful in the sense that you are tapping into other areas of revenue, right? Like that was one of the things that I think was part of the decision to make your agency totally independent, right, from So that seems, do you agree that seems to be working?
Yeah, we're working very hard at it. The one thing with grants, and I think the Director of Finance will agree, is they open and they close, and they're by application. So there's a lot of people applying for a little bit of money. So it depends how well you tell your story and whether your idea is better than others. But we did have some success this past year. Obviously, we had set our hopes really high, and we came in middle of the pack at 57%.
And okay, so you last year you had a budget of 906 and for revenue, and you came up with 956. So, what were the expenses through the chair? Do you have an expense sheet there? Okay,
955. It's about 1,023 was our net income from last year, and that's prior to audit. So we came out almost flat.
Right, okay. Okay, I'm still a little bit at sea here about the grant expenses, but if you can provide something in writing, that'd be helpful.
Okay? Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Angie. Okay.
Do you have any further questions? I've got a couple, Angie. So I'm curious, the Catch the Ace, did someone finally win that?
Nobody has won the Catch the Ace. You can purchase a ticket at 26 Beach Avenue for $5.
And how much might that, we're doing plugs here today, so what the heck?
If it is won next Wednesday at 7:45 when the draw is done, the jackpot will be $52,000 to the winner.
So they need to get to the beach center.
Everybody needs to leave here and go to the beach center after the meeting.
As a matter of fact, people looking for money that might be in the audience might find it worthwhile to spend $5.
It would make a nice donation back to a community organization,
right?
As well.
All right. More seriously, on the you do have an aging demographic. What are you finding in terms of the changing needs? So I'm thinking what the programs that you were providing, you still need to as the boomers are moving through, but are you finding additional changing more in-depth needs with that aging group?
There's just more need. So there's more of them, and they have more asks. So some want to go to dances, some want to go to dinner, some want to do fitness classes, some want to take lessons to learn. So it's just fulfilling all of the need in a time frame that we can do within one facility. So the beach center being our one and only option for facility space to fit all of those needs. That's why we're open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. You know, it's
great. Well, please take back to all of your volunteers our thanks, and to the board, yourself, your staff, our thanks as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, and yes, I need a motion. Councillor Hooper.
Move to receive with thanks and refer to the budget process. Thank you.
So just receive with thanks on these because they're already part of the process. Seconded by Councillor Jones. I will look your way the next time, I promise. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. So the next delegate is Chris Newman, who is the coordinator of the Firehouse Youth Center. Chris, welcome back. It feels awesome. Like you were just here a short time ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. I think I figured out how to use the microphone a little better this time, so that's kind of nice. It doesn't sound like I'm yelling at you.
I will get you to teach me.
So, good morning, Mayor Foster, members of council, municipal staff, friends, and fellow presenters. Obviously, my name is Chris, and I'm here to do our annual budget presentation for the John Howard Society's Clarington Youth Centers. And that's where I really wanted to start, is I have to say how exciting it is, really, to be able to say Clarington's Youth Centers. No longer are we just looking at the firehouse. As everyone is well aware, we had the opportunity in 2018 to open two brand new locations, The Loft in Curtis and NYC in Newcastle, and both have been astoundingly successful so far, and I mean, we only continue to see growth in both of those areas. But the firehouse was not to be overshadowed by those things. We hit our 20th birthday, I guess, in 2018, which is a pretty remarkable feat for a youth center. There's not very many around that that can say they've been serving and changing and evolving along with their community and meeting the needs for that length of time. So again, 2018 was a hugely successful year for us, and these are just some of the some of our favorite memories from that. So these are some of our partnership programs. The one that I draw your attention to is the one that's right in the middle there. And that was a really cool partnership we had with the Bowmanville High School Leadership Program and the artistic expertise of the Bowmanville Older Adult Association. We've got this beautiful mural that's up on the wall that's really brought a new life and energy to the space. Past that, again, just some more photos of some of our programming options. So you see everything from toilet paper mummy making contests to painting. And again, one of our other extremely beneficial partnerships is with Durham Regional Police in that photo on the bottom left there. That was our crew who was out to tackle the hills of Horseshoe Valley for the polar rush last year. And I think we were all, me especially, feeling it a little bit more than I thought we might be. So. That brings us to really what makes these spaces work. We've been asked this question a lot, I think lately, especially in terms of the opening of the new locations, and it's really about the approach and the values we bring to how we work with the young people in our community. It's really about across the board, no matter what programming is taking place at what location, these are some of the values that you're gonna see when you walk through the door. Creating a space built on the foundations of being safe, inclusive, and supportive are really just built into the fabric of all the youth center locations. And really what this also does, past really developing an encouraging environment to have youth come into, is it fosters organic development as well. So what I mean by that is our staff aren't just there to implement activities. Our staff are there to build relationships with these young people and provide a voice for these young people, again, to really have some investment and develop the identity for these spaces. And that transitions really nicely, I guess, just into my next point here about the instrumental role that these relationships play. I'm not going to go too much into the theory and the research just for time constraints, but I mean there's ample amounts of evidence support the invaluable role of positive role model relationships in the lives of our young people. And that's exactly what we strive for at the Youth Center. Connecting and providing opportunities to form these instrumental relationships is once again in the fabric of those youth centers. And in that sense, it's really not necessarily just about the activities that are taking place, but it's about those moments that are happening when a young person's maybe struggling with something and somebody takes a second to just check in with them and see how they're doing. You can probably assume why this is beneficial, but some of the biggest key points are, I mean, we're developing self-awareness and some self-reflection in our young people. We're developing collaborative teamwork skills. And really, we're fostering their sense of identity. Youth are in a really interesting space in today's day and age, and this is one of the things that we see they struggle with the most, is who are they gonna be moving forward? And spaces like this are really foundational in terms of helping them see who they are and really embracing that. Now, I felt obligated, I guess, because it is a budget presentation, to talk about numbers in some sort of sense. So this gives you a really quick just breakdown in terms of what our numbers looked like in terms of attendance. So up there you see the actual number of visits for the locations, number of clients, age demographic breakdowns, and the average visits per day. So just a couple of things to draw your attention to with respect to the firehouse would be that, again, it was an extremely successful year with over 3,500 visits, 243 unique clients. So those numbers are really strong. The other piece, though, and where it gets really interesting is our projected numbers for the two pilot locations. We thought we did a really good job going in, projecting the numbers, and we were terribly wrong because, as you can see, they are way higher than we ever could have imagined, I think. And again, just to draw the attention to the fact that this is only representative to the end of December, so, I mean, those numbers are again, much higher to date. So what we're really looking at this like is an investment in the community. And what that investment is, or what our ask this year is, a very minimal or marginal increase from last year. Kidding. Our grant request this year for the municipality is $276,731. What this looks like is here's a bit of a breakdown in terms of the financial aspect of that. Again, so this is just breaks down what those costs look like per location and those sorts of things. Worth note is if you look at those total expenses on the bottoms for each of those sites, so Firehouse, Newcastle, and Curtis, the reason there's some disparity between them is just because we still have some of that pilot funding carrying over into the fiscal year. So again, that's just noteworthy there. The other item that I'd like to bring to attention is to jump up to the revenue line, and that's our fundraising donations area. It wasn't that long ago. First off, we're forecasting an increase there for this year. We're hoping that being a little bit more, geographically across the municipality, that'll generate some additional revenues for us. But it wasn't that long ago that we were only generating $6,000 or $7,000 a year. So again, a pretty successful point that we wanted to share with you today. And then the last bit of the budget to draw your attention to there is that total expenses for the firehouse. There's probably going to be there some questions around. That's a pretty substantial increase for us, and there's for that location specifically. There's a number of reasons for that. The first being the increase in hours. Again, as everybody is probably familiar, our other two locations are open 5 days a week, Tuesday to Saturday. Unfortunately, that's not the case at the firehouse. Not due to lack of interest, just because we don't have that built into the budget right now. So that is one thing that this budget does speak to, is the opportunity to extend those hours to Saturday operation and really flush out and see throughout 2019 if the interests of these youth are going to match up with what the needs of the community are. Past that is our staffing model. We're really looking to kind of solidify and stabilize our staffing model specifically at the firehouse. Both the loft and the Newcastle budgets currently support a double staffing structure, whereas the firehouse doesn't for a number of reasons. And having two staff on site is key, not only from a programming standpoint to offer diverse and engaging programming, but really from a safety standpoint when we start looking at what those numbers look like in terms of visits on a daily basis. And really it comes back at the end of the day to the most important factor, and that's us being able to meet the needs of youth. We've definitely seen over the course of the past year with the youth accessing the services of the firehouse, that those needs just continue to increase. Things like the prevalence of poverty, housing instability, food insecurity, risk-taking behavior, and experiences with mental health are all very real challenges that youth in Clarington are struggling with, and by and large part, things that myself and our staff are supporting them through on a daily basis. So again, that's kind of the main reasons in terms of the increase specifically to the youth center portion of the budget. So what does the community get with this? I can tell you it's a whole heck of a lot more than just a place for teenagers to hang out. I think we spoken to the engaging accessibility. I mean, it's super cool to be operating right across the municipality or as close to as we can right now. You're getting that supportive and inclusive space, but really what you're making is an investment in the capacity building of these young people moving forward, and you're developing resiliency. And that's what it's all about. We're propositioning, we're putting them in a better position moving forward for their own future. And resiliency is kind of the word I guess I will almost leave you with, just in terms of when we think of that, we often think about all the internal factors that come along with that. But there's a whole lot of external forces that will ultimately impact somebody's ability to overcome challenges, decision-making, all those sorts of things. And those are often rooted in having a space that's defined by feeling supported, being empowered, having the opportunity to experience boundaries, expectations, and really constructively use your time. And those are all of the defining characteristics of all of the youth centers right across the board. So if we look at it this way, in this sense, the investment we make today is really something that we're making an investment in for the future long term for the youth in Clarington. And that pretty much brings me to the end, and I will leave you with the question of Clarington's youth worth the investment. We certainly think so, and I also wanted to say that we think council does as well, because we've had the luxury of having a great, phenomenal relationship with the municipality and members of council for 20 years at the firehouse, and I can't thank you enough for that. And in all seriousness, we wouldn't be here today talking about these new locations and the opportunities for engaging youth across the municipality without your support. So I thank you, and I'll just leave these quotes up there so you can check them out, but I'm happy to take any questions.
Chris, thank you very much. Members of committee, Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. Through you to Chris, and I think so too as well. So I just want to ask, I have a couple questions I want to ask in regards to the ask for 2019. So if you take 276, 731, 19,000, $233,49,907, and add that up. That works out to about $345,871 from your previous ask, which was $113,649. So I guess my question is $276,731 for the Firehouse Youth Center itself.
I can definitely provide some clarification on there. It's a great question. The 276 number is for all locations across the board. That's not specific to the Firehouse Youth Center, if that answers your question. Okay. That is the amalgamated total that we're requesting to operate all three locations. Again, if as approved, for those 5 days a week, Tuesday to Saturday, right across the municipality.
Perfect. Thank you for that. And one other question, too. I see in the preamble here you say something about hire staff through Canada Summer Jobs Program. Is that indicated somewhere in here as to what the amount of the figure is?
Yep. So part of that is actually reflected. We're been lucky enough to get that for the past few years now, and that cost is reflected directly in part of the staffing lines for the Firehouse budget. So in that breakdown I showed you up there, part of that is captured, so it is reflected in the grant request as well as a staffing cost.
Perfect. Thank you very much, and I appreciate everything you do for our youth today. Thank you. Thanks.
Councillor Schwartz.
Thanks for coming today. It's encouraging to see the uptake from the Newcastle kids coming to that new program. Do you know where those kids are basically all coming from?
Most of them are from around the facility, to be totally honest. I mean, I think the vast majority of them are kind of concentrated in downtown and that neighborhood directly kind of adjacent to Newcastle or Diane Hamry Rec Center. With that being said, I mean, we are seeing some increased numbers from Orno and some of the other hamlets and things like that. It's really cool when we get to see the parents picking up a group of youth and bringing them down to the center and then picking them up at the end of the night. So we're getting there, but vast majority of them are currently coming kind of from that concentrated area of Newcastle right now.
Do you have anything further? Chris, again, thank you. Curious, you showed us a word cloud, you know, the middle was safe. Was that something made up, or was that actually pulled from the kids that are going to the center?
Yeah, so that was I put the word cloud together, but they gave me the words. I think is the piece of it that's most important. So that's them speaking to you guys in terms of what they feel when they come to the locations.
Okay, so really good for us to know, and good that you are providing that. And you have, and I believe you continue to engage with the older adults, bringing the kids and the members of the older adults, which is very cool.
Yeah.
So for that, thank you, and for all that you do,
awesome.
Thank you. Councillor Schwartz, would you have a motion?
To receive with thanks.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Anderson. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That's carried. Might I suggest a 10-minute break? Councillor Trail, I saw you nodding your head. Yep. Seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Thank you. So if we could be back at 11:05, please. Folks, that was a longish 10 minutes, but that's all right. So we'll call the meeting back to order, if we could, please. All right, so our next delegates. So people, I wonder if we could call the meeting back to order. And for those of you that are chatting in the back, I was looking at Mr. Horvath in particular, just because I could. Okay, the next delegates are representing Community Care Durham. And we have Sally Berry. And Deb, I'm going to do it again. I'm sorry. Calogris. All right. Welcome.
I can do it. Okay. Sorry. Good. Okay.
Good morning, Mayor Foster, members of council, municipal staff, and fellow community members. My name is Deb Kalogris, and I'm the manager of the Home Support Program in Clarington. And with me today is Sally Berry, our Director of Client Services for Community Care Durham. We're here on behalf of Community Care Durham and the 1,956 Clarington clients that we served last year. We acknowledge and appreciate the opportunity to highlight community care and to publicly express our thank you for your continued support and interest. Your local municipal support and endorsement have played a significant part in our ability to provide a service to the community with excellence, and for that, we thank you. Community Care Durham is a registered charitable organization. We've been in Durham Region over 40 years, and thus in Clarington, serving the clients for over 40 years. We support adults and their caregivers who have needs related to physical, aging, and or mental health to live at home independently. Our services actually fall under three programs: home support, the COPE Mental Health Program, and the respite program. Clarington has and continues to experience significant growth, and 22% of Community Care Durham's clients are actually residents of Clarington. Our services actually fall into these categories. So we have our food and nutrition, which is Meals on Wheels, hot and frozen, our transportation service with our accessible vans, our assisted transportation to medical and other important drives, our support and education. We have our mental health support groups that run during the day and evenings, our personal support caregiver relief, and our adult day program. In health and wellness, we offer exercise and falls prevention classes in the community, foot care clinics, and of course the mental health support groups. We have a list with home at help at home. We have assisted living at Wilmot Creek. We have friendly visiting services, telephone reassurance checks, help getting home from the hospital through Home at Last, our caregiver relief, home help, home maintenance, and of course our Meals on Wheels program. Overall, as an agency, we have 1,900 volunteers and 300 staff, the majority of which are PSWs, providing service to over 11,000 individuals across Durham Region. In Clarington, we have 475 volunteers and approximately 19 staff operating out of the Rickard Complex, providing service to over 1,900 clients, many of those clients receiving multiple services. And as our services will continue to be in demand as the population ages. Our services are coordinated by staff in the office, but the majority of those services are delivered by Clarington volunteers. And volunteers are the heart and soul of what we do. And without their generosity and commitment, we would not be able to provide the broad range of services that we do in the community to help them live at home independently. Our 2019 grant submission outlines in detail more of the specifics around what actually we do in terms of our statistics. But just to highlight some, this is one of our lunch and out events that we have, and we offer 55 throughout the community over a 10-month period. I know our grant submission says there's less than that, but we've just added on some additional lunch and outs out in Kendall every month. Of clients at lunch note. Our transportation service last year did over 12,000 transportation drives. These could have been on our accessible van, they could have been on our additional vans, but most of those drives were done by volunteers in the community. And that was to medical appointments, shopping, errands, to our adult day program, to lunch note, to various medical appointments that they needed to get to. Meals on Wheels is another program that clients depend on. Last year, we served and delivered in the community, sorry, delivered 16,120 meals across Clarington. We have an adult day program, and that program last year served 82 clients. And our COPE mental health program provided support to 196 clients in the community during the evening and during the daytime as well. Other services, as mentioned, we have friendly visiting. We have a telephone reassurance program, which is a safety and security check for clients. Home help, home maintenance. We served 79 clients through our assisted living program at Wilmot Creek. And we also offer 14 to 16 foot care clinics throughout the community on a monthly basis. We also are out in the community. We need to raise awareness for those that are not aware about our services, as well as our need for volunteers. And every year we do a walk for mental health awareness. This year the walk is on June the 8th. Coupled with Clarington's history of solid volunteer commitment and contribution, our 475 volunteers have provided a secure foundation for us to live our mission of supporting people and strengthening community. During the past year, we have given considerable time to the recruitment of new volunteers, and this community is most fortunate to have a strong and fundamental value when it comes to volunteering. Community Care Durham doesn't record the value, it does not record the value in terms of revenue or expenses, but for interest's sake, just for the home support program, not including the COPE and the adult day program that operate out of the Garnet B. Rickert complex, our volunteers contributed $395,000 based on a $14 per hour rate. That is something that we would never be able to afford to be able to serve the clients in the community. There are many players that contribute to the success of community care, and as we move forward, working together and collaborating with the community will be more important. We continue to collaborate on a regular basis. We respect our relationship with the Central East Lynn, with Lake Ridge Health Bowmanville, United Way, all of the local service clubs and community groups, and last but not least, Clarington Municipality of Clarington's leaders and staff. We appreciate the considerations by council and municipal staff, and thank you for your ongoing commitment to Community Care Durham. We appreciate the support and partnership that the municipality allows us to centrally coordinate our services for Clarington out of the Garnet B. Rickert complex. We thank you for caring and thank you for consideration of our grant application.
Thank you very much. Members of committee, have any questions? Wow, it's quiet. So I've got a couple of sort of the same question for the older adults. You'll be dealing with a demographic that is older because people are living longer that have more complex needs. Can you give us a sense of
how that impacts us? Well, what we find, because there's a lot of different ways that it impacts us. An example would be medical drives. A lot of clients with complex needs need more assistance going to medical appointments. Medical appointments take longer. That then requires a volunteer to spend more time taking a client to a medical appointment. We find that when we're dealing with clients on the phone, it's not just a simple phone call. There is more involvement from staff in terms of not only providing and suggesting what services we can provide them with, but also wrapping that client around with other services and collaborating with other agencies in the community to get them the true help that they need as a complete package. So we are finding that the needs of the clients are increasing and are requiring more time to provide them proper service.
Thank you for that. And you do a Meals on Wheels, and you invite myself and members of council to help. Are you planning on doing that this year again?
We can.
You know, it's always...
If you would like to.
It's great insight, and I would encourage you to do it again.
We will absolutely plan that then.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here. And again, to the volunteers and, you know, to everyone involved, please express our deep thanks.
We will. Thank you very much.
Councillor Anderson, would you have a motion to receive with thanks? Oh. Seconded by Councillor Schwartz. Thank you. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. You guys did not expect me to get that. I know it. The next delegate, the abuse I take is amazing. The next delegate is Heather Ridge from the Museums and Archives. Heather, welcome. It seems like we were just speaking, Granville, I don't know, a couple of days ago.
I just
and Catherine,
saw you.
thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Foster, members of committee, municipal staff, community partners, and other guests and delegates that are here today. Yes, my name is Heather Ridge. I am the executive director of the Clarington Museum and Archives, and I want to thank you very much for allowing us the opportunity to come today and talk to you a little bit about what we do, and thank you for your support and ask for your continuing support this year. As you know, we are operated by a council-appointed board of directors, and we are supported by the Municipality of Clarington, provincial and federal grants, many corporate sponsorships, as well as individual donors and members. What we do. So we work to collect, preserve, and present locally significant archives and artifacts that are the history and heritage of local villages and communities that comprise the municipality of Clarington. Our mission is to illuminate Clarington and its heritage through lasting and meaningful experiences with artifacts, exhibitions, and programs that inspire future generations and enliven our community. And our vision is to be a vibrant community heritage hub where people come to discover, explore, and create. I'd like to talk a little bit about some of our things we're most proud of from 2018, our 2018 highlights. We successfully fundraised, developed, designed, and created a brand new permanent children's exhibit play area in the Sarah Jane Williams Heritage Center that we named Claringtown, and we were very pleased to have the official ribbon-cutting ceremony of that just at the end of January, and that space is almost fully complete, and we were happy to welcome many families to that space on February 2nd when we opened it to the public, and we've had very, very positive feedback on that new exhibit space. It's a free place for families to come in the downtown core to play, interact, and get a bit of a history lesson in the time that they're there as well. We also, in 2018, partnered with a local wildlife rehabilitation center, Soper Creek Wildlife and Rescue, to offer free programming to school-age children for the 2018 and 2019 school year. And we've had great success with that program, and the children continue to come into our site 3 days a week, and they're able to interact with the animals right on site and learn a little bit about another aspect of their community. Some more of our highlights from 2018 include that we had six youths that we were able to employ through summer employment that were funded through federal granting programs. So there were three students that were hired through the Canada Summer Jobs Program and three students that were hired through the Young Canada Works Program. We also were able to offer career-building opportunities for three postgraduate museum studies interns and two high school co-op students that provided them the opportunity to work within a museum and archive setting to learn if that's a career they wish to pursue. We also welcomed well over 7,000 visitors to our three sites. And I'll take this moment just to remind everyone that we do have the three buildings, the Sarah Jane Williams Heritage Center, the Bowmanville Museum that we refer to as Waverly Place Historic House, and the Clark Schoolhouse up in Kirby. For our engagement in 2018, we were really pleased, as I mentioned, to offer an increase in our educational programs that we offered. We had 50 educational programs just in 2018 alone, and we reached over 1,500 students through those. We had over 10 special events that reached over 1,400 visitors. We had 14 adult workshops and lectures that reached 138 participants, and 22 children's camps. Those are either March break or PA days or summer camps that reached 177 participants. Other aspects of services that we provide to your community are providing assistance with research requests, which there were 74 that we completed for individuals and institutions that were looking for history, heritage-related information. We had over 51 museum memberships sold. We featured 5 exhibits during the 2018 year, and we had at least 10 community partnerships with local groups, and we attended through outreach at least 10 different community events and festivals, such as the downtown festivals, and things such as Winter Wonderland through the library. These are just a few of our community partners, and I know I have not meaning so, but I know I've neglected a few off here, but some of our community partnerships in 2018 included Soper Creek Wildlife Rescue, Fleming College, those are where some of the interns were from, Clarington Central High School, the Bowmanville Older Adult Association, Clarington Libraries, the Older Adult 55 Plus, the Ontario Genealogical Society, the Oshawa Seniors Citizens Center, and I just realized I neglected to add the Visual Arts Center, but we also partnered with them, obviously. 2018, our income sources included 2 federal grants for summer student employment, the ones I mentioned. We also had 2 federal grants that helped supported project funding. Those were through Canada Cultural Spaces as well as Veterans Affairs Canada, and they supported our new children's exhibit. We had our support from our provincial grant, which is our museum operating funding grant. Obviously, municipal grant through the municipality of Clarington. We had an extra grant for some employment funding to help someone get a launch start into employment. We had 8 corporate sponsorships that provided support to various programs and special projects. There were private donations as well as the a bit of income that we received through our museum membership program. For our 2019, our income targets include continuing to increase our membership with a membership drive. Our numbers increased last year. We'd like to continue that trend. We'd like to see an increase in private donations, which again, we are going to concert some efforts towards making that happen. We would like to continue our increase in our education program revenue by utilizing the newly opened children's space that we were talking about, Claringtown, as well as our recent updates to our Clark Schoolhouse up in Kirby to, again, encourage more teachers to take advantage of those sites and bring their students there. And we'd like to continue increasing the rentals of the museum buildings for various reasons, but most of all, of course, our Waverly Place, the Bowmanville Museum for Weddings has been popular this past year, and we'd like to continue to increase that as an opportunity for anyone looking to take their vows in a beautiful setting. So our municipal grant requests, you can see our recent history there. We had an increase in 2016, but we had we requested no increase in 2017 or 2018, and therefore this year we are requesting an increase to our budget this year, and we hope you will consider our ask. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Members of the committee, Councillor Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Ms. Ridge. Is there an actual statement for 2018 available?
Yes. I can provide that to you. I think you had the November numbers that came along with the grant application, but I can get you the final numbers again.
Maybe audit, forward to the clerk.
Audit hasn't happened yet, same as the Older Adults Association, but I can get you what we're working with right now. Yes.
Okay, thanks. And then through the chair, I noticed the salaries, wages, and benefits are increasing by about 25% roughly. So it's, can you indicate the reason for that? Or?
It appears that way, but what actually happened during those years is there was a, there were a few maternity leaves and the positions were not backfilled with full coverage. So it appears that things are increasing a lot, whereas they, they're really just now in 2019, we will be at our full coverage with a full complement of staff of museum professionals in the professional roles. So we were undergoing over the last few years a review of staffing levels and roles and positions through QP bargaining, et cetera. So we've now been able to lay ourselves out with a consistent thing moving forward, and we're feeling that we have some confidence in some actual expenses there now.
Okay, now just looking at the, like the accounting fees seem kind of high to me. I don't know. Do you use separate audited statements or?
We don't do separate audited statements. We do pay an external bookkeeper to keep our books during the year.
Oh, I see. So that's not audit fees. That's accounting fees.
It is. It's yes. We do pay a bookkeeper to do all of our accounting and bookkeeping.
I'm just thinking back to when I was on the board. I thought at one point we were talking about getting like a, I don't know, a Sage 50 accounting program that you could basically do yourself. Because, I mean, I do that. I'm not an accountant, but is that not something you could do internally? For what it's worth.
It's something that could be considered. I'm not sure what the board decided in terms of why they decided to have an external bookkeeper instead of that recommendation, but I can take it back to the board and discuss it.
And you mentioned weddings. I kind of piqued my interest there because you only show, for example, last year, like $1,000, but people are prepared to pay a lot of money for wedding venues, are they not?
I know. I think we need to take a look at that and compare to other venues around the area.
I mean, it would be a great venue for somebody. Absolutely. Maybe you could actually turn that into a nice profit center, but I mean, you've got a great setting, right?
We've got a great, I do have to say a big thank you to Fred Horvath and his team and department for their support with our buildings and our grounds. And we do have a lot of work over there with aging buildings that do need a lot of care and upkeep, and the grounds as well, which we do primarily through volunteer work and donations, is to upkeep the grounds. So it's something that we're going to need to look at if we want to increase the revenue from. We've also got to put a little bit of expenses towards as well.
And did the, through the chair, did the, like the, some of that work ever get done on the house?
It has not been completed.
Still
yet,
not been no. completed. I remember there was an architect report on that.
There was,
still undone.
Still undone.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
So I'm laughing, Councillor Neal. Somebody, you know, you want to talk about ghosts of the past? I've got you, Councillor, but might have asked the exact same questions at the board meeting. Councillor Anderson.
Through the chair. Thank you, Heather. My questions are along the vein of Councillor Neal. How many weddings per year do you do, profoundly, approximately?
We've just really started it in 2018.
Okay.
And again, I wasn't there during 2018 for the majority of it. I was on my maternity leave. So I don't have a figure. Maybe Catherine can speak to that, if you don't mind.
Sorry. We had 3 weddings last year, and we had, I want to say, 4 bridal showers that were at the Waverly Place. It's something that Amy Barron, our program coordinator, is definitely working on. Even last year, she increased our rental fees because they were very, very low. They were something along the lines of $75 an hour, which, as Councillor Neer pointed out, is quite low for a wedding-type situation. We had no wedding package whatsoever. So she put together one for last year. I think she kept it lower just to try and see how the interest actually was for having weddings here, and I think we will be looking at increasing those fees.
Yeah, it's a great space, so maybe we can expand beyond weddings, like cultural events, et cetera, and look at that and figure out a way to promote that so we can get some value and you can get some money to help upkeep of the museum.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Councillor Jord.
Thanks for coming, Heather. For the past 2 years, you did not seek a budget or an increase in your grant.
That's correct.
What was the rationale for that?
It was a decision that was made at board level, from what I understand, to not request an increase. As staffing levels and roles were being reviewed, the board wanted to settle on a stable staffing level before proceeding with a request for an increase in the municipal grant. As you know, we went through quite a lengthy bargaining process during that time frame, and we were also the board was looking carefully at the financials and trying to understand, get a good grasp, I should say, on what a baseline year would look like. And we wanted to have, I think the board wanted to have that under their belt before going forward with an increase request. And so the decision was made at the board level to not ask for an increase until we had a good baseline year set for actuals in expenses and whatnot.
Anything further? So on the same grant, just looked at the numbers quickly, about a 2% increase was 16, give or take.
Was in 2016?
Yes.
Yes,
the last time that
yes,
you asked it
was
for an increase.
It was a 2% increase. That's correct. From 2015 to 2016, yes.
And then no request, and between 8 and 9 this year?
Yes.
So overall, you know, if you're not taking money when you don't need money, overall, that works out something under 3. Yes?
Yes, that's what we're looking for.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, and again to the volunteers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Thanksom. I am glad that you jumped right in front of that, Councillor Neal. Seconded by Councillor Anderson. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. All right, so we are on item 4.7, and this is Frank Cherizano. I understand Matt Anderson will be on hand to... you know what? I was given a heads up. So here's who's really talking to us regarding the hospital. We've got Chris Coy, Matt Anderson, and Kirk Kemp. And welcome all.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Coy, and I'm proud to be the current chair of the Bowmanville Hospital Foundation. I want to thank Mayor Foster and the council for allowing us to do this presentation today. And speaking with me will be Matt Anderson, the president and CEO of Lakeridge, and Kirk Kemp, the chair of our capital campaign. For the past 45 years, the foundation has been the primary fundraising arm of the Bowmanville Hospital. Over the years, we've raised over $22 million through the efforts of more than 600 community volunteers. All of that to ensure that our hospital has the best equipment and technology available to provide quality health care to the people of Clarington and the region of Durham. No one can dispute the need for an expanded and redeveloped hospital in our community. The hospital and the foundation have been preparing meticulously for the longest period of time to get to where we are today. It's been 28 years since the last relevant expansion to our local hospital. To support the redevelopment, the foundation is embarking on the largest campaign it will ever face. Building on our successful CT scanner campaign, we have developed and designed a new capital campaign launch that will help us raise millions of dollars required to support the community portion of our redevelopment costs. And although we are still in what's called the quiet phase of our campaign, we have already received two monumental donations of 7 figures, one from the Kemp family and the second from our Bowmanville Association of Hospital Volunteers. We've also received a 6-figure gift from St. Mary's Cement. 2 weeks ago, my younger brother, who has cerebral palsy, collapsed and was taken to the Bowmanville Emergency Department. We spent many hours in the department, and during that time, I had a period where I could make many observations. The first one was as a family member and my brother's power of attorney, I was grateful for the professional and compassionate care that he received, The treatment plan was quickly formulated, and communication throughout the day to me was excellent. The second, as a former administrator and emergency nurse, I saw a very overcrowded emergency department. I saw a waiting room that was full of people that had been there for a long period of time. I watched the staff constantly moving patients from one area to another to try to find an appropriate area to assess and give patient care. And thirdly, I heard caregivers apologizing for the fact that there were no beds and that patients were being admitted in the emergency department, and they had even turned the physio department into an inpatient care area because there were no beds and there were no other places to put the patients that were admitted. This emergency department was built for 19,000 people. They're currently seeing over 35,000 people on an annual basis. They've used up every single imaginable space. Creativity is no longer an option. They've used every creative image that they can to make sure that they've used all the space available. And my third observation that day was, as the chair of the Bowmanville Hospital Foundation, it gave me a greater resolve to work with our community partners and people like this council to achieve the amount of money that we will need to fundraise for to get every dollar that's going to be needed for the hospital campaign. Our community that's growing and the healthcare team that currently work at the Bowmanville Hospital deserve and certainly need this development. And now I'll turn it over to Matt.
Thank you, Chris. Tough act to follow for sure. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and speak with you today. Are you doing that? Thank you very much. So I get to do a little bit of the nuts and bolts behind our story here today. This some of you will be familiar with. This is the outline for the planning process, the provincial planning process. We are at stage one, and we have been invited to resubmit our stage one proposal. That will get submitted. Actually, we're looking to do that in the month of March. To then move forward into these other stages as we try to move forward with our project. Next slide for me, please. Chris has done a fantastic job of describing why we need to address our facility. As you can see, or as you heard, we have some very substantial challenges with respect to the Bowmanville Hospital accommodating our patients and also operating in the most efficient manner possible. Give me the next slide. In terms of the details of what's going on inside the Bowmanville Hospital and the changes that we're talking about, we really are, overall, we're going to be doubling the size of the hospital. We're touching virtually all of the clinical care areas. I want to just pause for a moment on that first bullet point around the emergency room. And you heard Chris's account. And I guess I'd do first a little vignette for you, or a little image, and then I want to talk about some numbers. The image is that we, because we had to expand our emergency room, we have a public hallway that goes down the middle of our emergency room, which is completely unacceptable for a modern facility. Also, just want to stick to the numbers for a moment and maybe give you a little bit of context. That those 35,000 emergency room visits that we see in Bowmanville, keep that number in mind and think about we now see well over 110,000 emergency room visits at Oshawa. And we have a number of patients who are coming, people who are coming from our Clarendon community over to Oshawa because we are so strapped for space over at Bowmanville. And so we've got a lot of centralization going on in Oshawa, and I think you're all aware of the challenges we have there. So if you think of those numbers of 35,000 and 110,000, I'll give you two other numbers. Against our 35,000 visits at Bowmanville, the Toronto General Hospital in downtown Toronto sees 45,000, and Sunnybrook sees 60,000. So these are the days of us thinking of Bowmanville as a small hospital supporting a rural community are over. We are a major facility providing very big volumes and volumes that are only going to grow. You'll see as well the other things that are listed. I won't walk you through everything on there. I do want to just take you to the last bullet point and perhaps the most important as we think about this redevelopment. Right now, many of our patients are in ward rooms, so they're in rooms with two or sometimes four patients. The length of stay is quite long for some of our patients, so they will be in these rooms. Sometimes their length of stay is measured in weeks or months. In many of these rooms, the washrooms, the size of the washrooms are so outdated that you cannot get a modern wheelchair into the washroom. So these patients are left to have to use commodes with a drape around them. This is not dignity. This is not how we should be providing care to our community, and this will be what gets addressed when we do our project. And then lastly, I just wanted to spend one moment on the economic benefit of hospital development. All of you are, I'm sure, more experienced than I am on regional planning and economic development. Suffice to say, hospitals, healthcare, this is one of the a major catalyst